Is a Pacific trade agreement headed to oblivion, or will it happen anyway, just without the United States of America? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Trump team has issued a video listing things the new president will do right out of the starting gate. Among the changes, reducing regulations, cutting two rules for every new regulation enacted, and reducing environmental curbs on domestic fossil fuel production. Also right away, getting the United States out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a Pacific Rim freer trade deal. Japan's Prime Minister Abe believes with the U.S. out, the deal is effectively dead, but others in Asia see an opportunity if the U.S. leaves.
It's definitely a victory for China and for Asia as a whole, because it's really, in my view, it's the ceding of leadership on trade from the United States to Asia in general and perhaps to China in particular. So absolutely, we can see this as the point at which the United States stopped leading on trade globally, and at least for the next 2 to 4 years, for sure.
Deborah Elms from the Asian Trade Center in Singapore spoke to our partner broadcasters at the BBC. She says the remaining 11 countries may choose to go ahead without the U.S.
It's actually win-win for the others because the United States doesn't have a lot of barriers in place. So for the other 11, they continue to have access to the U.S. market and they don't have to face American competition at home. So from Asia's perspective, in a way, it's better. They don't have to deal with the Americans. They still have access to the U.S. market. They have much better access to one another. It's very damaging, though, for American companies, for American leadership, and for the United States as a whole. But for Asia, maybe it's not so bad in the end.
For the record, the Trans-Pacific Partnership would cut tariffs between Japan, Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, Brunei, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Mexico, Chile, and Peru. Many economists had argued it would boost American jobs, but many voters did not buy that argument. Opponents also argued it ceded too much U.S. sovereignty to international trade tribunals. Let's check the live markets here. The Dow future is up 49 points, 0.3%. The S&P future is up 0.2%. The Nasdaq future up 0.4%. The 100 share index in London is up 0.9%. The benchmark for interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield, is down at 2.29%. Among the many industries wondering what they stand to gain or to lose under the administration of Donald Trump, railroads. Mr. Trump says he's interested in a major infrastructure initiative. A trade group representing major freight railroads sent a letter to him yesterday with a wish list. But at the same time, the rail industry is concerned about how trade policy could affect the freight business. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
If the new president spends a bunch of money on national infrastructure, freight railroads could get a lift. That's according to Larry Gross, a consultant with FTR Transportation Intelligence.
That will certainly help the railroads from the standpoint of moving all of the construction-related commodities, the steel, the pipe, the rebar.
But on the campaign trail, Trump took aim at rules governing trade with Mexico and Canada, rules which have benefited the rail industry. Gross points to the effects of Mexico's growing auto industry.
Set up finished vehicles are coming north across the border. That's a major trade that the railroads are participating in.
Ultimately, Trump's trade and infrastructure policies can't be pried apart, according to Robert Puentes. He runs the Eno Center for Transportation.
It actually does matter when you think about the trade that we have with other countries to determine the infrastructure play for that.
Another big question for the rail industry, whether Trump tries to revive the coal industry, the biggest source of rail traffic. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind. Can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Fine print often taketh away, but sometimes it giveth. I never took very seriously many of the supposed benefits packaged with my credit cards, but on a busy travel week like this, it's possible your cards could help you out if you get into a bind. Mark Orlowski is founder of a nonprofit called the Sustainable Endowments Institute, but on the side, he scrutinizes his credit card agreements like an archaeologist with a new set of Dead Sea Scrolls. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So you've been looking through some of the fine print. There are some hidden bonuses in these cards that you'd like to call our attention to?
Many credit cards people look to earn points or cash back, but often there's hidden sort of benefits or services offered by your credit card company that aren't necessarily very widely known or used, and they can relate to a variety of ways to protect yourself or help get reimbursement if travel goes awry and you get stuck or your baggage gets lost or you get a flat tire on the side of the road, many different types of incidents.
All right. So what's, like, for instance, travel delay insurance? Some cards have that?
So some cards say if your flight's delayed more than 3 hours or, say, more than 6 hours or overnight, for example, they will cover necessary expenses to make sure that you're not having to lay out money out of pocket because of that delay. So, for example, some credit cards, if you bought the flight using that credit card, will actually reimburse you for a cost of a hotel. So you could stay at a pretty nice hotel, maybe something that costs a couple hundred dollars, and wake up the next morning and get on the next flight and not be out a penny.
And if you have to check a bag and it doesn't show up, sometimes the card can help?
Some credit cards offer either baggage delay reimbursement or lost baggage, you know, reimbursement. You might be on a trip somewhere, like I was on a trip to Miami, Florida a few years ago, and it was a 5-day trip, and my bags arrived literally 2 days after I got home. And so I was without my bags in Florida for 5 days, and which was kind of a problem because I was wearing winter clothing in the middle of the winter and didn't have any warm weather clothing. So I had to go on a small shopping trip to Target and J.Crew and some other places, picked up a bunch of clothing, and was able to get reimbursed, I think it was over $250 worth of some items that I needed.
You do seem like a J.Crew man. That doesn't surprise me. Well, do you have to buy, for instance, the plane ticket directly with the card? What happens if you use the card to use a third-party online travel agent?
Some credit cards will still cover you if you use a third-party booking site, but not all will.
Mark Orlowski is normally the executive director and founder of the Sustainable Endowments Institute, but he uses his cards and travels a lot, so he watches them. Mark, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
And by Bloomberg's calculation, there is now a 100% chance the Fed raises interest rates at its December 14th meeting. I use a different tool, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange's Fed Funds Future Price, which puts the chances at 95.4%. So don't be surprised. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.